Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You're listening to Jones and Keith on WEEI.
High noon here on WEEI. It's Tommy Tuesday, which means we're joined by Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston. A lot going on with the Patriots. He had a one-on-one yesterday with Mike Vrabel. Some interesting comments about his working relationship with Elliott Wolf, among other things. Tommy Curran, how are we doing this week?
I am great. How are you?
Oh, we're doing excellent as well. Mm-hmm. What'd you think? What were your general impressions of Vrabel press conference, your one-on-one? Your big initial takeaways from Mike Vrabel, now officially Patriots head coach?
I thought his messaging was compelling. I thought it was organized. I thought that, and I do believe that he comes in with a very realistic appreciation for the level of talent on his football team. I thought that was indicated by his, what we need to do is become a team that can take advantage of bad football, and I'm not sure that we're able to do that yet. I thought that was the only indication we got of what he thinks of the team, and I think he's honest about the level that they're at. I thought he was very, very, very few, if any, quibbles with any of the messaging that he gave. Now I'm sure we're going to get into the Elliott Wolf roles, which I'm sure plenty of people have quibbles with, and the offensive coordinator searches, which I'm sure people have their input they want to share too.
Yeah, all right. I think both of those are fascinating to me. Let's start with the Elliott Wolf thing. It jumped out to Jones and I yesterday how many times he mentioned Elliott Wolf during the press conference. Then you talked to him, and then he was on the Greg Hill Show this morning and brought Elliott up a couple of times unprompted. Wolf, as you can imagine, not the most popular person for Patriots fans after the draft and free agency and everything else. How do you view that working relationship? And once again, like last year, we have that question of, one person does have to have final say if everybody in the room is arguing over the number four pick. How do you see all of this working out?
Start at the end. Mm-hmm. My understanding and belief is that Mike Vrabel will have final say. Elliott Wolf is in a support role. Even though the title says that he will be over Ryan Cowden, I don't know exactly the landscape there, how that will flesh out, but from everything I've been told and from everything that has been indicated so far, Elliott wants to be in a support role. He doesn't want to run herd on the personnel department. I'm not saying he's going to recede into the background entirely, but I think that his job safety and his short and long-term future are attached to his ability to say, hey, I want to help Mike. I don't want to argue with Mike. I want to find out what Mike wants and get that for him. So that's why I think Elliott Wolf is not going to be somebody who is, you know, unless all the indications that we're being given, I haven't been told this, but I don't think Elliott Wolf is here till April and then gone after the draft.
Yeah, so I didn't feel that way either, and I respect and, mm-hmm. and trust your reporting much more than even my own instinct on that. But you know, when it comes to Ryan Cowden, who's going to be brought in, according to multiple reports, will he have more power than Ryan Cowden? If Vrabel's the guy calling the shots and Cowden is Vrabel's guy, how does that power dynamic work?
Yeah, I don't know yet. I think that it was reported initially by Albert Breer that Cowden would be beneath Wolf. Here's the interesting thing, and I think we saw this last year, and you guys saw, anytime you work with people who are new, everybody gets in there together, and everybody wants to be pulling the oars in the same direction. So the number of arguments and the times that you actually get to somebody saying, I want this guy and I can't move, and the other guy saying, well, screw you, I'm not moving off it either, it just doesn't really happen. Mm-hmm. You eventually get to a point where you can agree on something. Now, why is it important in this offseason? Talked about this last night on Early Edition. There are very valid situations that might confront the Patriots given where they are in the draft. Someone wants to trade up to number four, for instance. Well, what are they going to give the Patriots? Will the Patriots say it's okay that we'll take 35 in the second round and next year's first round, whatever? Or does somebody insist on this year's first rounder? And who's the one who insists? And who's the one who says yes or no? I think it has to be Vrabel in this instance with the counsel of Cowden and Wolf. But if something doesn't work out, that's where the landscape is set for, well, you know what? I told them not to do that. So they better all be on the same page as much as possible, or it's going to just lead to the same kind of dysfunction that we've been seeing where, you know, success has a million fathers, failure is an orphan. That's what we've been looking at.
Offensive coordinator, you'd already mentioned it. It's going to be a massive addition or you know, importance this offseason. Mike Vrabel mentioned this morning there are a lot of candidates, a long list of candidates. How do you kind of handicap the field right now?
It was interesting. I think it was talking to the Greg Hill show this morning. I saw the quote that wasn't listening. But did he say that I have a relationship with Josh?
Yeah, he talked about Josh McDaniels. We played it back, Jones and I, and he was, because I guess it was brought up, Gronk suggested you call Josh McDaniels first. And he kind of had like a pause. He's like, yeah. And then he kind of went on to say, like, there's a lot of guys. Like, he knows Josh, but.
And Greg asked him directly, is he on the list? He said yes, but it's a long list.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah. When you read, I have a relationship with Josh, you don't get the same, because usually when you know somebody as long as Mike's known Josh, you'd say, I have a good relationship. So I didn't know whether to infer anything there. I do know that Josh McDaniels would be on the list. I think he would be a good hire. Tommy Rees on the list as well, but I think those two would be the leading candidates. And I think that Mike has a leaning. I don't know what it is. But if I'm looking at this Patriots team and the work that needs to be done, I would probably, if I was hiring, and I know that there's plenty of fans who feel differently, I don't know why, but they do, I would think that Josh McDaniels would be the best fit. Do you guys feel the same way?
No, I don't. I would lean, you know, if it's Tommy Rees or McDaniels, maybe I'd go to McDaniels, but I don't love the idea of hiring McDaniels. And let me just give you pushback on why maybe some
would
fans
you go to
feel
like
that
a
way.
Nick Caley or something? Go ahead.
Yeah. Like
Tanner Engstrom.
Yeah, the McVay tree or somebody from Dallas. Sure. Like a name came up today. I'm sorry, Detroit. A name came up today. Mike Rees threw out the name Dave Rigoni, who I guess worked with Vrabel in, I think, Tennessee and Houston, but definitely in Tennessee, and he's with McVay now. That, to me, sounds like an intriguing name. Is he ready to be a coordinator? I have no idea, but I'll give you a reason why maybe some feel like you could go Tommy Rees over Josh McDaniels. It would be the style of offense and the language in the offense, and you don't want Drake May starting over again at square one. I think that's the one you hear the most.
That's huge, and that's a Patriots player who had a very good season this year said that to me. Just before the final game, the last thing you want to do with Drake is make him start over again. Because that's year one to year two. He didn't say this, but this is me continuing. The year one to year two jump is critical. And this will be what? Unless McDaniels comes back, it'll be the fifth offensive coordinator. 21, 22, 23, new guy, who's 23? Bill O'Brien,
yeah.
24,
yeah.
Was Van Pelt. It'll be the fifth coordinator in 5 years if it's Rees. One aspect of this, too, to bear in mind, and what's the reason that Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, in part, were the offensive coordinators in 2022, it was because, at least it was stated to me, that Bill was tired of the flight risks that he was having from younger offensive coordinators. And maybe Vrabel would look at McDaniels and say, he's been a head coach twice. I don't know if he yearns to be a head coach at this juncture right now, or if he would like to have the stability of coaching near where he's living right now. So with a Nick Caley or a Tommy Rees, say they come in, the Patriots go 13-4, they make it to the AFC Championship game, and Drake May throws for 5,100 yards, Tommy Rees is getting interviews everywhere.
Do you feel like, so right after the season ended, an hour after the season ended, they fired Gerard Mayo, but the rest of the coaching staff, it had all been, you know, crickets. There's not any word on that. How likely is it that there's a complete overhaul and anybody who was a certainly coordinator or position coach is moved on from?
I think it's, I would imagine because Mike has had the time in this off season or in his, you know, bridge season to find out who he would bring in around the league, that he would probably be more prone to replacing a lot of people than others. Mm. You know, if you were coming into this organization kind of cold and you had coached all year long, you might say, well, is there something I can use here? And you'd give it a shot. I think that Mike probably has had a long time to align what he wants as assistants. I don't know who's safe and who isn't. And, you know, some of these guys might be listening to the radio as we speak and talking about their jobs as assistants. I'm sure that they're on pins and needles themselves. I don't know what his leaning is with the assistants on staff. Like, for instance, did Scott Peters really suck, or was he just provided as an offensive line coach with players who couldn't play?
Yeah, hard to tell.
Yeah, what was the
hard to tell on that one?
No, it is. I dare on the side of caution and just clean the whole thing out. But you know, we'll see where that ultimately goes. I think Reese had the report. They're all kind of told to stay on vacation and wait until they hear about their futures. It's Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He joins us every Tuesday on a Tommy Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Vrabel had comments. I believe these were to you, Tom, about Elliot Wolf and how Wolf had some restrictions on him last year, which I took to mean free agency. Maybe I'm misreading that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Do you think there were restrictions on Elliot Wolf? And do you think that's an indication that maybe there won't be restrictions this year and they're ready to spend?
Yeah, my understanding is that that was more related to just time, the amount of time Elliot had to develop things. He was spread thin, as many people were, because there were so many people in different positions for the first time within the organization that what Mike was alluding to was the amount of time that Elliot had to invest. It wasn't a money thing.
Any idea on defensive coordinator? I think, you know, we've had so much attention on offensive coordinator.
You know what?
GM
I'm honestly leaning on Reese too. I'm leaning on Reese's list too. I'll be completely candid. I've been so kind of enmeshed with what Vrabel's doing and his messaging has been. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of relying on the Reese list.
Okay.
Terrell Williams, Shane Bowen, those names, those are kind of the ones that he highlighted today. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've been looking at the offense a ton and talking to Mike and trying to vet what's going on with the coaching search. And yeah, it's friggin' important. I mean, you look at this draft and the fourth overall pick, you could have easily said offensive line forever. And now you look at it and you're like, well, could Abdul Carter be the guy that you want to bring in? Because you don't have a pass rush. Should you go defensive end and marry that, that makes Christian Gonzalez even better. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see what a player and coach like Mike Vrabel with his sensibilities does at number four, and who is his defensive coordinator, and how do you deploy a guy like, how do you generate, who is this person who will come in and figure out how to generate a pass rush?
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Another one for you is this morning he brought up A.J. Brown, or maybe the morning show brought up A.J. Brown, but he spoke about him. And, you know, the three best seasons Mike Vrabel had in Tennessee, A.J. Brown was the number one receiver there. He's now reading books on the sideline and doesn't seem to be going great in Philly, even though they're winning. A lot of times you see head coaches bring in former players with them as well, not just former assistants onto their staff, but former players. Anything there? Any kind of chance of the Patriots swinging a trade for someone like specifically A.J. Brown?
Specifically A.J. Brown, I think we'll see how things go with Philadelphia throughout these playoffs and how successful they are. He might feel more, you know, comfortable staying there if they have great success. We continue to circle up on A.J. Brown here because it makes sense. He would be the exact kind of fit. I think he is, believe it or not, I think he's underrated. I think he is a freak, and he is one of the top five easily in my estimation, even though he doesn't get the same Pro Bowl and all pro recognition. To jump off of that, though, I think the Patriots' best bet for improving their wide receiver room is via trade. I wouldn't spend all my time trying to get T. Higgins first and foremost and spend $33 million a year on him, even though he's terrific. I would try and find a trade for a receiver, because when we look around the league, whether it's Stephon Diggs, whether it is A.J. Brown, whether it's Tyreek Hill, those guys were acquired via trade and brought into an organization. So maybe that's where this personnel group, because free agency sucks. It's not the same as it was. It's the good players don't get to free agency because right now there's so much TV money, teams don't know what to do with their money. So they sign everybody who is even remotely competent on their own team and bring them back. So you're not going to have, like, people keep saying, well, Philly offensive line or free agency. They would have done that last year if they could have. They couldn't. They had Jonah Williams and Tyron Smith were the only two tackles of note who were out there, and Trent Brown. So there was nothing they could really do. So that's, to me, you have to get imaginative with trades, especially at wideout.
Last one for me, Tom. Who do you got this weekend between the Bills and the Ravens?
Oh, so great. These games are going to be really fun. I'm going to take the Ravens. That's my Kyle Van Noy solidarity.
All right. Very good.
Okay. Nice. I was going to say the last one for me, Tom. You know that, you're in the Scoops game. Keith is in the Scoops game.
Yep.
Keith has come under fire from Brad Marchand, maybe
a higher
status player than maybe say, oh, I don't know, Monty Beisel. But do you have any any stories or advice for Rich Keefe coming under fire in the Scoops game?
Well, I did say to Monty as he was yelling at me, I said, "Go ahead, I'll be here longer than you."
I'm not as confident though, Tom.
Marchand's a free agent, Keith. We already outlived Mayo.
He's a pretty good player.
We already outlived Mayo, Keith.
He's
so
not
we'll,
Monty Beisel.
We'll see. True. How many fans even are aware of the Monty?
Was that 06? When was that?
It was when Bruschi was out with the
05.
Stroke, right? Yeah.
05, okay. Yeah.
05, I think. Yeah. I feel bad.
Why?
Well, Tom's been here 20 more years.
Either.
Yeah, but why?
That's the kind of thing that's smart ass comment afterwards. I'll be here longer than you. What a think.
Well, it's a good line though.
That's the kind of thing you're only going to say in a locker room when there's 38 people around and I know he's not going to whack me in the side of the head.
Correct.
Nice. Well, that's a good comment.
Yep,
and you ended up being right. As usual, Tommy Curran, usually right. You can check out his work, NBC Sports Boston. He joins us every Tuesday here on Tommy Tuesday, Jones and Keefe. Thursdays with WEEI Afternoons and, of course, on Quickslants tonight. Make sure you check him out. Each and every time you can learn something from Tommy Curran. We appreciate it, Tom. Thanks so much.
Thanks, boys. Good call. Thank you.
All right. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, every Tuesday. Yeah, it was something like Beisel wasn't happy with Curran for whatever reason.
Probably calling him out for not being very good.
Yeah, because he sucked.
I'm guessing.
So he wasn't any good. And so maybe Curran called him out. He didn't like it. And I think he aired out Stacey James, if I'm not mistaken. That was where I'm a PR guy. I think that was where that comment came from.
Oh, I think you're right.
I'm a PR guy myself, Stacey. Like, you're not supposed to make me look bad, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, it's a shock nothing like that happened last year with the Patriots. Like, as bad as they were.
Yeah.
And in 05, the Patriots were still, you know, still good.
Yeah, so I guess he's having a bad year. I got some quotes here.
Yeah,
why do you have to come to my locker and rub it in, Beisel said when approached by the Providence Journal reporter Tom Curran.
Oh, he's at the Providence Journal. Yep.
And then he goes, that's your professionalism? You slash me in front of everybody? What kind of bleep is that? How are you going to let him come over to my locker like that? Beisel said to Stacey James. You're not supposed to be allowing that bleep. Yeah. You're not supposed to make me look bad.
Yeah, exactly.
He goes, there, here's the quote you're looking for. I'm a PR guy myself. I know that's total bleep. You're not supposed to do that. That's crap. That's the last thing in PR that you should do.
You'll pound sand.
And he basically told him to pound sand.
Oh, yeah.
This story does not mention anything about Tom's good line at the end.
Oh, okay.
That was omitted from the story.
Monty Beisel, shockingly, was out of New England the following year, but he did hang on in the NFL for another one, two, three, four. You got four more years.
Yeah, that was the year they thought Monty Beisel and Chad Brown were going to be like the replacements for Brewski and who is the other stud like?
Willie?
Roman Pfeiffer, maybe, or Willie, like one of those guys.
No,
yeah.
Was Willie still here in 05? Yeah, somebody else.
It was like Pfeiffer.
Right.
It was like somebody like two like stud linebackers. Like, we're good. We got these guys.
No,
like,
You know who had to fix it because they were so bad and Brewski was out with the stroke? Vrabel had to kick inside.
That's right.
I believe.
Look at that. So it's all coming together.
It's all full circle.
Landed it.
That's story time with Jones and Keith.
Yep.
I guess not the most advice there from Curran.
No.
I was hoping for some advice. He just said heavy fire is what he said.
He's like, that's I can see it from Gillette.
So there you go.
These guys are going crazy.
If you missed any of Tommy Curran, it's up on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get that on your phone. Free, easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. It'll also be up on YouTube if you want to watch the full thing. We have Kiefer Madness on the way, 12:45, as we do each and every Tuesday. We'll get back into Mike Vrabel this morning on the Greg Hill Show. How do you divvy up the power? Elliot Wolf, who's the OC? Curran gave us some info. There was more from Vrabel today. We'll do that right after Trending with Billy Lady.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. The Bruins look to make it back-to-back wins tonight when the Bees host the Lightning. Puck drop at the TD Garden is at 7 o'clock. The Bruins have announced that they have recalled forward Matthew Patra and defenseman Michael Callahan from Providence. The Bees have placed forward Mark Kastelic and defenseman Charlie McAvoy on injured reserve and placed defenseman Hampus Lindholm on long-term IR. The Los Angeles Rams closed out wildcard round in the NFL playoffs with last night's 27-9 win over the Minnesota Vikings. The divisional round will begin this Saturday, and you can hear the call of all NFL playoff games right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM. Westwood One's coverage begins at 4 o'clock on Saturday. And the Celtics will return to the court tomorrow night when the Seas will be in Toronto to play the Raptors. Looking for a fast, convenient family meal that everyone will love? You got to try the 99 Restaurant's original crispy chicken tender family meal deal. Each meal serves up to 5 people and comes with salad and sides to share. You got to love the Nines. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.